Now, as those are going on, I just would like to echo my invitation, along with Tim's, to come out and join us this Saturday night as we gather together for just some food, fun, and fellowship as Chuck brings down his band and all. I do remember Chuck Butler and the group Parable and those from way back. And good stuff, but as Tim mentioned, it's not just dusting off some old songs, but it's some anointed stuff. There's some contemporary stuff and just worship and all. So come out this Saturday night and be a part of it. A lot of people will come to something like this that they won't come to maybe like church and all. So invite family and friends to come out and just, again, just have some food and fun and fellowship. Now, a couple important things to notice. We're Calvary Chapel, not Calvary Chapel, but food does tend to bring people out, so come on out. But remember, it's said to bring a side dish. And if your side dish happens to be dessert, remember, that has to be pre-approved by the pastor. No, you don't have to bring any by. But looking forward to gathering with you Saturday night, so come out and be a part of that. Habakkuk, chapter 1. Habakkuk, chapter 1. Now, I'm going to wait a minute while you find it, because I suspect some of you might take a little bit of looking. Habakkuk is part of the Bible that's called the Minor Prophets. And so feel free to use your table of contents or whatever to find it. But we're going to go to Habakkuk because we are traveling through the Bible around here. Matter of fact, tonight, Lord willing, 6 o'clock, we will gather here to continue our journey through the Bible. We go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Lord willing, we'll be covering a couple of books tonight. One of them is Habakkuk. But this morning, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. Now, as we come to this portion of Scripture, Habakkuk has a problem. He's in a dilemma. It's the kind of a problem that perhaps you found yourself in before. As the book opens, Habakkuk expresses that problem. He sets before the Lord his dilemma. Let's read about it. We're in chapter 1, verse 1 of Habakkuk. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Basically, Habakkuk is saying, Lord, I see everything going on around me. I see this corruption, the iniquity, the lack of justice and all. I see strife. I see violence. And basically, he says, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand this. I pray. You don't seem to answer. I look around. You don't seem to be working. It seems to me like the wicked are prospering and those who might be faithful are struggling. I don't get it. It's something that maybe you struggle with, be it your own personal circumstances, or you look around the national or the international scene, and we can look at how darkness seems to be prevailing so often. We look at struggles, we look at our own storms in life, we consider our prayers and all, but we come up with the same kind of thing. Lord, I don't get this. I seem like I'm praying, and I don't hear an answer, and I don't understand what you're doing. Lord, why don't you do something? Well, look at what the Lord answers Habakkuk now, verse 5. The Lord says, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. So, in response to Habakkuk's concern, the Lord now says, I'll tell you what I'm doing, but you're not going to believe it. And it will astound you what I'm doing. He goes on to tell Habakkuk, I'm raising up these northern neighbors of yours, enemies really, the Chaldeans, they're also known as the Babylonians. I'm raising up the Babylonians to come against you. I'm going to use them to bring judgment, chastisement upon my people. See, God's people had for so long been in rebellion. They had gotten into such wicked stuff, horrible stuff, for years. And God had sent prophet after prophet to call them back, but they would not come back. And this wickedness, this rebellion was like a cancer. And God in his love says, you know, if I don't get my scalpel out and cut that out of you, it's going to destroy you guys. So he says, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, his scalpel is going to be the Babylonians. He's going to bring them in and do surgery, so to speak, on his own people. Well, that sets for Habakkuk an even bigger dilemma. Look now. Let's go to verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you've appointed them for judgment. O rock, you've marked them for correction. Go down to verse 17 here. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? Because of the time, I've had to summarize this, but basically, it's like this. Lord, I don't get what you're doing. The Lord says, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to use your neighbors to work a work on you. I'm going to use them to judge you. To that, Habakkuk says, wait a minute. Lord, we're bad, but they're really bad. I mean, well, yeah, we deserve a spanking, but through them? They're worse than we are by far. Lord, I really don't get this. How can you use them? How can you use this thing to chastise us? And that brings us to chapter 2 and our focus verses. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Here Habakkuk says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. It's interesting what awesome spiritual truth can be contained in such a short sentence. Such a brief statement, something that we're so used to that, once again, we're tempted to take it for granted. Because we've heard it so much. But what an awesome truth now is set before Habakkuk and us. How needed this truth is for every one of us. We look around and we say, I don't get it. We look at our circumstances and say, I don't understand. We try to figure God out. We cry out and complain. God, tell me why and what you're doing. How's this going to turn out? But God in his love speaks to us. As we are challenged in our circumstances, God gives us that which we need the most. He says, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, in your love, you've sent your Son to die for us, to pay the price for us, that you might in turn call us back to you. Lord, there's a way this life's been designed to live, to know you, to walk in you, and it's a walk of faith. But Lord, we confess, so often we are tempted to doubt. So often, Lord, we struggle with the why. Lord, thank you that you give us far more than the why. You give us who. You give us you. You show us your nature, your character. You give us a place we can anchor our hope and our peace. Lord, help us this morning. For any of us that are in that place of trying to figure it out and figure out what you're doing, and Lord, help us this morning to lay hold of this awesome truth that the just shall live by faith in you. So, Lord, now speak to our hearts. We ask it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 4 with me again. It is our focus. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. There's the key to it all. So simple, and yet so life-changing if we can just lay hold of it and really live it out. Like Habakkuk, there is much that we face that we don't understand. Life circumstances can seem unfair to the natural mind. And we begin to wonder why. We begin to be tempted and sometimes, unfortunately, fall to the temptation to doubt God in it. But the Lord in his love replies to our struggles and all, the just shall live by faith. Now, that's not some heavenly brush off. Go away, kid. Don't bother me. Just live by faith. But it's God's heart trying to give us that which will see us through everything. See, the Lord is trying to give us something here that will see us through all that we face. It will transcend all of our circumstances. Something that will help us to not look to our own intellect, our own resources, but to God. See, we can lay hold of the truth behind this, that the just live by faith, we'll be prepared for whatever comes. And we'll know God better for each thing we face. Because as we're driven into Him, as we're driven into His nature, His character, we'll not only find Him steadying us through it, but we'll know Him better for it. The Lord answers Habakkuk here with a contrast. Did you see it? Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So the Lord sets on one side the proud, the puffed up. And he contrasts that with the just, those who live by faith. The proud. By definition, the proud means someone who thinks he has it licked. He's in charge. He's someone who looks to his own intellect, his own wisdom, his own resources. And he thinks that in that, he has everything it's going to take to handle everything. And if he can't understand it, he's not about to believe it. And he runs everything to the grid of his own understanding. How sad it is when someone's like that. See, that person thinks when he lives by his own view on things and his own strength, he thinks, boy, I'm in charge. And I got it made. And I'm in control. And that somehow he's better for that. Instead, he's ripping himself off. And thus we need to understand. The person who looks to their own understanding is on sinking sand. The person who simply trusts in what he can understand, his own resources and all, is going to fall far short of what God is offering. So here's the one who is prideful. And God, in his love, knows I've got to get that pride out of you because that's going to fail you. You are not self-sufficient. You are not, there's no self-right, well, there's self-righteousness, but it won't commend us to God. It's not really a righteousness. But the one who has faith is totally different. They live by God's resources. They've settled the issue. They know that God's in control. Pride questions the promises of God. Faith casts everything upon the promises of God. And in that we find so much. You should be glad God has a bigger brain than you do. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If it offends you, so be it. But I want a God bigger than your brain. And bigger than mine. And thank God that He is. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher. But the guy who trusted his own thinks, I'm not going to go for that stuff. And so somehow trusting God is lesser. But it's the person who trusts in themselves that wonders why they always struggle. And they're going to get ripped off. Verse 4 here speaks of what's supposed to mark the life of every believer. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. We're not to be those who have to demand all the time I've got to see it and understand it and agree with it. Run it by me, God. I'll let you know if it meets my approval. I'll give it my stamp of approval. Then we'll go for it. But instead, we're to be those who walk by faith in our Lord. Our circumstances come and go. Now, for some of you, you're saying, I wish I could be in the go part. You're in the middle where they've come, but they haven't left yet. And I'm not making light of what we go through. We go through some rough stuff. That's not a newsflash. You know that. But the real test is how we handle them. Because how we handle them tells us how we see God. One of the commentators that I've been reading in preparation for our times together, his name is John Montgomery Boyce. He said this, quote, about this text, he said, this is a great text. It could even be called the great text of the Bible. To understand it is to understand the Christian gospel and the Christian life. End quote. Don't miss that. He said, really, it argument can be made that this is the great text of the Bible because it all hinges on this. And if we can lay hold of it, you'll understand the gospel and you'll understand life itself, the Christian life, and what it's supposed to be like, that the just will live by faith. This is the verse that caught fire within Martin Luther. Martin Luther was that Catholic priest who was struggling so much with what he saw going on. The corruption within Christendom and the selling of indulgences. And he says, you know, and it wasn't right. Any people doing their good work somehow thinking that was commending them to God. But God lit a fire in Martin Luther through this verse, the just shall live by faith. And it began what's known as the Protestant Reformation. It's a verse that God used mightily in the life of that once Pharisee Saul that God turned into the Apostle Paul. It's a truth that God used to get hold of him. As a matter of fact, this verse is referred to three times in our New Testament, twice by Paul, three times if you believe that Paul wrote Hebrews. There's some discussion about that. But you know, to look at all three occasions, really, let's let the Bible be our teacher about this text. The first time in the New Testament that this text, the just shall live by faith, is referred to is in the book of Romans. Paul writes to the Romans that awesome, awesome letter. Many of you studied it, you know it's a life-changing book if you lay hold of its truth. In the book of Romans, Paul begins to knock down every underpinning to anybody who thinks they can be saved through works, through the law. And he shows that both Jew and Gentile are sinners. All are sinners, he says. But then he starts to show how, but we're saved, justified by faith. He sets it right out there at the beginning. We find it in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. And there's our verse. There's our verse, what God showed Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. And it's that truth that God used to get hold of Paul and change him and has changed all of us in terms of our understanding. And so that's what the book of Romans is setting before them and us. Justification. Just. Declared just by faith. Justification is that gracious act of God whereby he declares the believing sinner justified, righteous. And he gives you and I a perfect standing before him by faith in what Jesus did on the cross. There's no other way to be just. The just shall live. You shall find eternal life by faith. The just person isn't someone who's met all the requirements of God. They obey the law perfectly or something like that. They've done all these good works, and so God says, okay, come on in. It's not like that. But instead, well, Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, see, he's moving through the book of Romans, he's making his argument about being that it's by faith. Therefore, based on all this, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The next time Paul uses this verse, that the just shall live by faith, Habakkuk 2:4, is in the letter to the Galatians. It's an important addition out of our understanding. God had gone there, Paul had gone there and used God to plant a church in Galatia. And they had come to know the Lord and the gospel was going forward and all, so good stuff going on. But after time, a group called the Judaizers showed up. And they were a group who sought to corrupt the pure gospel by telling people, well, that's fine that you believe in Jesus, but you need to actually not only believe Jesus, but you need to obey the law. It's both. It's through Jesus, but then you have to obey the law if you're going to see heaven and be blessed and all. And so they were trying to bring in the law, that it was the cross plus your good works and all, your obedience to the law by which you're saved. Paul heard about this, and of course, he stood against it. Paul said, it's not the cross plus anything. It's the cross, period. It's not the cross plus your good works. It's not the cross plus law. It's not the cross plus church attendance. It's not the cross plus tithing. It's the cross, period. And in setting that before the Galatians and challenging them, he uses our verse from this morning. He says to them, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.'" Let me pause. He's saying, you want to be saved by the law? He says, then curse to you, because curse is anyone who doesn't do every single one of them. But he's shown us nobody can. The law was simply a schoolmaster to teach us that we need the cross. We need Jesus. But what's he say? But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For, and there's our verse, for the just shall live by faith. It got him. It shook him to the core. It changed him and history. It changed everything. Has it changed you? Do you understand? When you face your circumstances, when you face your trials, as you sit here this morning, can it be declared of you that you truly live by faith? That's the deciding factor. That's what God is looking for all of us. The third time this verse is used in our New Testament is found in the book of Hebrews. That one I want you to turn to. So leave your marker here in Habakkuk and turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews sounds like it'd be an Old Testament book maybe, but it's actually in our New Testament. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 towards the end of it. Hebrews chapter 10. This will be the third use of our focus verse for this morning, and we'll see what it adds to our understanding of it. Hebrews. Go to your New Testament, find the book of Hebrews, go to chapter 10, go to verse 37. Hebrews 10, 37. While you're looking, I'm also going to put it up here on the overhead for us. Hebrews 10, 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now notice, this of course, as you've turned to, is at the end of chapter 10 in Hebrews. Right after the verse that I stopped at comes chapter 11. I stayed up all night studying that. No, that's... The original writings don't have chapter and verse. That was added later by man to find text and to memorize them and everything. But it's just one long letter. So please see, the thought continues now as we go into what we call chapter 11. And what is the idea he carries forward? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. And from here on out, all through chapter 11, you're familiar with it probably. It's called the Hall of Faith because it's just a listing of many, 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 many times all these people who by faith walked, by faith got victory. Through their faith, they made it through their storms, or God worked an awesome work, or whatever the specific situation was. But make sure you notice that. It says here, verse 4, by faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. And so it goes. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, he kept the Passover. Verse 28, on and on. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. And on and on and on. Just examples of the fact that these were found walking by faith. Trusting God, believing God. See, notice that. It's by faith, by faith, by faith. These are those who had faith in the midst of all they went through. Well, to that you might say, well, of course, Pastor Dale. No wonder they had faith. They're in the Bible. No wonder they had faith. That's for us. That's recorded for us. But at the time, they didn't know how things were going to go down. There were people just like you and I going through some really rough stuff sometimes. And they didn't know how it was going to turn out. See, you can look at this and go, well, of course they had faith. I mean, look how well it went for them. Oh, yeah, it went really well sometimes. Go down to about verse, let's see, where are we at here? Where's a good one to jump in at? Go down to about verse 37. Or go above it, 36. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about, they were destitute, afflicted, tormented. Yep, went really well. In the world's eyes, it went really bad. In the world's eyes. But God said he worked in them and through them. Awesome things, things that you are strengthened by this morning. Things that God has used to bless us and encourage us with. And God's work was done. But notice that. It didn't exactly go the way they would have thought or picked, naturally speaking. But the point is, they were found as those who simply trusted him. Trust is the outworking of faith. Faith kind of opens the door, and trust is what results. And they were found trusting him by faith, all these things. They trusted God, and they leaned on his promises. And that's the definition, really. That's a good definition of faith. Discovering and leaning on the promises of God, the character of God, the nature of God. Romans 4:20, 21. Speaking of Abraham, good definition of faith here. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, that's the good definition of faith right there, just trusting God. If God said it, he can do it, he's going to do it. God has never out-promised himself. Oh, we maybe done that. But God has never promised something and had to go, oh, you know what? Sorry, I told you that. I can't do that one. I goofed up on that one. Forget I ever said that one to you. You won't hear God say that. You can't out-trust him. You can't have more faith than he's worthy of, because he's able to perform. Abraham had discovered that, and so he was counted faithful for it. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Go back to the Habakkuk 2:4 again. By faith, it's impossible to please the Lord, we just read. Noticed in our text, and what these other texts we just looked at were also kind of pointing to throughout them. See, it's not only by faith that we're saved, but it's by faith we're supposed to live. The text says, the just shall live by faith. Please notice that. Very simple, but so important. This doesn't say the just shall begin by faith and then say, thank you, Lord, for the kickstart. I got it from here. Thank you, Lord, for getting me rolling, but I think I can handle it now. I figured how this life works. So thank you, Lord, for bringing me to know you, but I got it from here. It doesn't say that the just shall begin, simply start out by faith. And look at your Bible. Does your translation say, the just shall draw on faith from time to time as it is needed? We laugh, but so often that's how we live it. We really kind of down deep, we live as if it says, the just, those who belong to him, will trust in God from time to time as is needed. But meanwhile, Lord, I'll drive. I'll be in charge. I'll pick the direction here. I'll pick what I'm up to, what I'm going to lean on. I can pretty much handle this. And if I get a rough patch here, if the storm gets kind of bumpy, Lord, I'll let you slide it. You can steer for a while. You know, hit the bump in the road. Oh, quick, grab the steering wheel, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Okay, I'll take it back now. And that's what the idea is. We think faith is something you from time to time draw upon. But meanwhile, we just go about business as if he's in the back seat maybe. But no, the just shall live by. Live 24/7. Be about, lean on, trust in, continually living by. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. Now, we can't do that on our own. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He nurtures it. He strengthens us. But we're the weak link in this thing. We're the ones that need to keep trusting in and believing and relying upon him, no matter what is going on at the moment. Now, this is going to seem obvious, maybe. Maybe it's just because I've kind of been soaking in it all week and studying for this morning. And for some of you, it's just kind of fresh. You haven't really been reading it. But I pray you'll go out and think on this and meditate on it. And it just hit me, just was a good fresh reminder for me and perhaps helped me go a little deeper in it. As I've kind of tried to, I've been seeing a little more. Faith is so awesome. And I can see why it says without faith it's impossible to please the Lord. Because see, faith honors God. Because faith, real faith, is putting its trust in the nature of God, the character of God. It's not looking to our own understanding. It's not trying to work it out on our own or looking to circumstances or trying to work our agenda. But instead, faith trusts God. And therefore, it's rooted in His character. And that gives Him honor, glory. You can see why it would please Him. Understanding. Agreement is rooted in our intellect. But that gives Him no glory. That doesn't honor Him. Even if we say, well, Lord, I'll trust you because I see now how you're going to do it. Okay, I'll trust now. Again, that making Him dance to your tune. Fit how you think it should be. But if we can say, Lord, I've come to know this. You're faithful. You're good. You're never going to leave me or forsake me. You've begun a good work in me, and you said you're going to finish it. You said the day's coming, you're going to present me faultless before your throne. You've said all things are working together for good, that you're molding and shaping me into the image of Jesus. Lord, I'm going to hang on to those promises. And I don't see when the storm's going to calm down or how it's going to go, but those other things are true. And so I know your nature, your character to the degree that, Lord, I'm going to trust in you in it. And that's when the Lord basically says, right on. That's when it, see, and I've been seeing that more and more this week. Just, that's why it pleases Him so much, because it's rooted in His character. And that's why it says they obtained a good testimony. It was a good witness. As people see us in the midst of our storms, not getting totally knocked out of the boat, not shaking us to the very core, but instead saying, yeah, you're right, it's a rough time, but I know this about my God. He's got me in His hand. Nothing's going to take me out. He's going to see me through it. Whatever comes of it, I can trust God. And the Lord goes, yeah, that's my kiddo. And that's what we need to be doing. Faith is rooted in God's character, His nature. Pastor Chuck Smith, who God used to raise up the Calvary Chapel movement, he got shaken to the core by the book of Romans, and he wrote, his commentary is called The Gospel According to Grace. But in it, I'm not in it, but I've heard him say before that he says now that he's older, he's learned a lot along the way. And he said, you know, he said he's even told the Lord that. He said, you know, Lord, now that I'm older, I see that you are working, you work things out, and you're worthy of trusting. And he said, you know, Lord, if you would have shown me that when I was younger, I wouldn't have given you all that trouble. If you would have taught me this a lot younger, we could have, you know, this could have gone a lot better along the years. Well, learn it now. Trust Him now. Rely on Him now. That you will in this lifetime, or certainly when you get home to heaven. You know what it says we're all staying around in heaven? We're all around His throne in heaven. You know what it says we're doing? We're going right on. Perfect and true are your ways. Think about it. We may or may not see why in this lifetime, but we will eventually understand that God is good and He's at work. If you have not yet decided what to do about Jesus Christ, you're considering His claims that you're a sinner, but He's your Savior, He died for you, you need to receive Him, but you haven't done that yet, please know there's only one way you will ever see heaven. The just shall live, eternally live, by faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Not mental agreement. Yes, sounds good to me. It's heart surrender. You must receive by faith. You must declare you're a sinner, but that you understand He died for you. Lord, forgive me. Apply that payment to my account. Invite Him in. If you haven't done it, do it today. Find a prayer partner at the end of our time and let him know you need to pray that prayer. But believer, look at our text. The just shall live by faith. In the context, this was God's answer to Habakkuk's circumstances. Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand. The Lord says, well, I told you, you wouldn't be able to handle it. So I'll tell you a little bit. And He told it, and then really got him thinking, man, now I really don't understand, Lord. How are you using them to judge us? But the idea here is, in the face of his questions, his struggles, the Lord says, just trust me and watch what I do. Time's coming when they're going to be gone, and you guys will be back in the land, and you'll be healed of what's gotten hold of you. Will you just trust me in this, though? By faith we're saved. By faith we're to live. By faith we please God. This morning, how's your faith factor? I stand before you every week believing that if God's given me this, it's for somebody, and maybe for all of us. Do you need to go deeper with your faith? Is there something you're facing that, truth be told, you've been trying to figure it out, you've been grabbing the steering wheel from God, and he's saying, hey, I want you to have some faith. I want you to trust in me in this. If truth be told, I've been doubting him. Well, he loves you. He's not mad. He loves you, but he wants you not to get ripped off. So you're missing out on the peace you can have in the middle of it, not just waiting till it turns out in the end. So is there an area where you've been questioning God? The call this morning is the just shall live by his faith. Are you one of those who you say Jesus is Lord, you sing that he's Lord, but you're always demanding him to prove to you what he's doing and why he's doing and where he's going with it? And again, it's a challenge. Do you go around just voicing out your doubts and your complaints? Or do you live out your faith and become a good witness, a testimony unto the Lord? They have so many awesome Bible programs now for the computers. If you don't have one and you're into studying the Bible, get some. There's some great things. It saves you a lot of work. Let them do all the work. You know, find out the Greek. They'll find out some. It's all right there. Well, on mine, amongst all my little study aids I have in there, there's a thing about illustrations. Stories. Examples. And from time to time, I use them because we all like an illustration or something that drives the point home. And so I put in faith, you know, and I hit that, man. There's a bunch of them. And so I'm looking at them, you know, cool, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's a neat one. Man, that one's okay. Ooh, that's good. Oh, that really touches my heart. Wow, that's, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember hearing about that guy. And there's all these stories and examples and all. I'm going down them, you know. We could have put them out here and they would encourage us or you might get touched or whatever. And there's a place for that. But, you know, there were so many and I was looking at them. And I can't say it was, thus saith the Lord, Dale. But as I was doing this and looking at my notes, and all of a sudden I really felt kind of like the Lord, or just, I began to feel like, you know, to read about some of these guys, like a George Mueller, who was a guy who lived by faith, so awesome, and what an example God provided for him and all. And you read about these different people, and they're also encouraging. But I started looking at that, and all of a sudden I had a strong feeling of, you know, there's a place for examples, but I felt like the Lord encouraging me to tell you, let him make you an example. Let him give you some illustrations, real life ones, from your own life. If you have them now, remember them. Remember how he answered that prayer? Remember how he saw you through that storm? Remember that time when you said, I'm going under, Lord, I'm not going to make it. But yet here you sit. You already are an example, probably. And let him give you some now. In your storm right now. He wants to use you. He wants to work in you and then through you. Let him make you an example of what it means to have faith. And so that's the call this morning. See, believer, you are saved by faith, but will you live by it? Will you live by it? The call this morning is to live. Live by faith. And the question becomes, will he find us doing it? Let's stand. Well, we encourage you to get prayer. Don't leave here wishing you'd gotten prayer. There'll be prayer partners by the prayer room. Our time zips along so fast. There's so much to cover about faith. This whole book is a lot about it. Have there been abuses to faith? Of course. Have people done some really weird things in the name of faith? Of course. But don't let that keep you from its genuine, rightful place. And all that faith ushers in to our life. Now, it's not faith in faith, it's who we have our faith in. Make sure it's in the Lord, rooted in the Lord, and keep it there. But may he find us day by day, being those who live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Father, Search our hearts in this time. Take now your word and by your spirit, Lord, we've heard it now. Now, Lord, just whatever you want to do, whatever you need to do, that heavenly surgery if need be, Lord. If we are prideful in some area, root it out. If we're looking to our own understanding, show us that, Lord. Break us of that. Just whatever it might be, Lord, help us to know you better. Help us just grow in this whole thing of faith. Maybe go from faith to faith, deeper in love with you and knowing you and walking with you. Lord, for each of us, help us, Lord, have an ever-increasing faith. You're worthy, Lord. You're more than worthy. So help us be those who indeed, when you look upon us, you find us walking by faith, step by step. All praise to you, Lord. Thank you for all we find in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.